Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Regrettably, the Republican approach does not prevent the unacceptable and repeated abuses committed by Chairman Issa in any meaningful way. That is all the more reason for Democrats to participate in the committee.
Well, that's the joke of the day. There's Nancy Pelosi, the cuckoo clock, of course, symbolizing the craziest woman in the history of the Congress. One speech after another leaves us with our jaws hanging. So here's 21 jokes that only conservatives will find funny, and it's from the IJ Review. Did you hear about the new Obama diet? You let Putin eat your lunch every day. How does Obama win the war on terror? He renames it. Did you hear about the reporter who asked Obama a hard question? Neither have we. How many Democrats does it take to change a light bulb? Five. Al Gore to ensure it's a CFL, an EPA agent in case the bulb breaks, and a mercury cleanup is necessary, a person to bail out the homeowner, an Acorn member to ensure that the right person changed the bulb, and a member of the media to celebrate the change. Number five, jokes that only conservatives will find funny. Why can't Obama dance? Because he has two leftist feet. Why won't Obama have a turkey for Thanksgiving? Because Vice President Biden will be out of town. Eight, Democrats and liberals always say they are smarter than conservatives. If that is true, then why do Democrats always have problems filling out a ballot? Majority Leader Harry Reid is considering a plan for higher payroll taxes on upper-income earners to help finance health care legislation. So apparently health care will be paid for by the New York Yankees. Ten is not funny. Let's go to 12. How many Democrats does it take to change a light bulb? It's irrelevant. They still don't know they're in the dark. 13. They say that Christopher Columbus was the first Democrat. When he left to discover America, he didn't know where he was going. When he got there, he didn't know where he was. And it was all done on a government grant. What do you get when you offer a liberal a penny for his thoughts? Change. What's the difference between Bill Clinton and government bonds? Government bonds will mature someday. What do you call a basement full of liberals? A wine cellar. Nancy Pelosi has now been elected the new House Minority Leader. She was smiling from ear to ear, which is pretty impressive considering how far her ears have been pulled back, period. What kind of doctor do you need to fix Obamacare? A URL-ologist. There are others, but you see what I'm trying to do here, because the news is so horrible. The destruction of our republic is so completed that it's hard to go right to the hard news, so we'll go to some soft news. Senator Dick Turbin Durbin of Illinois wants Illinois taxpayers to help fund Obama's presidential library. Sounds simple, doesn't it? He wants the taxpayers to spend up to $100 million to fund Obama's presidential library. So the thought occurred to me of what would you, the listener of the Savage Nation, include in Obama's presidential library? As we all know, in Clinton's library, L-I-E-B-U-R-Y, they did not include Monica's purple dress, which should have been in there because it probably symbolized his presidency more so than any other act of his presidential 8 years in president. So what would you include in Obama's presidential library? I'm going to give you some ideas as you think about it. If you can top these, you're worse shape than I am. 855-400-7282. Here's what I would think should be included in Obama's presidential library to symbolize his presidency. A basketball, a golf club, a bicycle, a pen, a machine gun to symbolize Fast and Furious, a wax figure of a dead veteran. Ooh. headphones, mini cams to symbolize the spying. If you can add to this, 855-407-282, we're dead in the water. All right, I'll go to heavy politics. I'm trying to avoid it. I'm trying to avoid the creeping Sharia. I'm trying to avoid the fact that the third world is about to engulf the United States of America if they grant amnesty to illegal aliens, but I can't avoid it. So let me start with the story I really was going to start with, and we'll see what it does to you. In New York City, in Brooklyn, an immigrant, probably on welfare his entire life from Pakistan, killed his wife by beating her to death with a stick because the wife made the mistake of cooking him lentils for dinner instead of the hearty meal of goat meat that he craved, according to court papers. Noor Hussein, our president's middle name is Hussein, age 75, was so outraged over the prospect of eating the vegetarian fare that he beat his wife, Nazar Hussein, 66, inside the Brooklyn apartment until she was a bloody mess. Prosecutors said in opening statements of his murder trial Wednesday, quote, defendant asked his wife to cook goat, and his wife said she made something else, court papers said. The conversation got louder, and his wife disrespected defendant by cursing at defendant and saying, mother F. The defendant, a Pakistani immigrant, took a wooden stick and hit her with it on her arm and mouth. Now, wait, it gets better. I wouldn't read this story just to show you the cesspool that America's becoming under Obama. I mean, why are we bringing immigrants in from Pakistan? Can anyone tell me who in their right mind would bring in immigrants from Pakistan who don't work? Pick your country of choice. Why would you bring them in from anywhere if they don't work? What were you bringing them in here for? Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, you only see the ones who work. How about those at home who don't work with the 9 children? Take a look at who's pregnant in the country. You know what this country is going to look like in 5 to 10 years? You'll be thrown out of your own country. So, a man kills his wife by beating her to death with a stick because she made a vegetarian dinner. And here comes the punchline. The defense attorney, Julie Clark, admitted that Hussein beat his wife to death, but argued that the Muslim immigrant is guilty only of manslaughter because he didn't intend to kill her. The defense attorney said that in his home country, beating your wife is customary. I'm not making any of this up. I am not making it up. She said that in Pakistan, beating your wife is customary. She went on, she said, he comes from a culture where he thinks this is appropriate conduct where he can hit his wife, Clark said in her opening statements at the Brooklyn Supreme Court trial. He culturally believed he had the right to hit his wife and discipline his wife, she said. Prosecutors, however, said that Hussein meant for his wife to die. There's more to the story. There's much more to the story. He beat her so badly with a stick that the family had found in the street and which they used to stir their laundry in a bathtub. See, we failed this immigrant family. That's the thing. We failed them in many ways. We didn't give them a washing machine, a government-supplied washing machine. So had we given them a government-supplied washing machine, he wouldn't have had to pick up a stick, and the stick wouldn't have been there to beat his wife. So we're actually responsible for killing the wife. He then tried to clean up the blood that splattered onto their bedroom wall before calling his son for help. I killed her. Hurry up and come over, Hussein told his son, according to prosecutors. Who's Modney? Oh, Assistant DA Sabia Modney said. See, this is interesting. When they try you in New York, whatever your ethnic group is, they find some of your ethnic group to try you. I like that. If you're Jewish, they get an Orthodox Jew to try you. If you're Catholic, they get a Catholic to try you. If you're Italian, they get one in an Italian name. So now they're smart. They're using a Muslim to try him. Very clever. New York, I tell you, is ahead of the curve on that. I killed her. Hurry up and come over, Hussein told his son, according to prosecutors. Modney, the prosecutor, also said Pakistani women who lived in the same building as the Husseins would testify about the beatings Nazar received at the hands of her husband. Modney said they have told us about years of abuse they witnessed. Here's the last punchline. Hussein met his wife in Pakistan, and the couple married before moving to Brooklyn. Do you think there was a green card involved somewhere? Who wants to bet that they were on welfare? Who wants to bet that they never worked a day in their lives in America? Who wants to bet that unless Obama's amnesty is stopped, you will not be living in the United States of America within 10 years? You will be living in a third world cesspool. I stick by those words. I'll challenge anybody to argue with me over this. I am an immigrant's son. Amnesty will be the death of America. You must oppose it with everything in you. It's the last chance we have to save the country. Is this one story typical of all immigrants? Of course not. But there are far too many immigrants in our prisons for having committed multiple felonies. Obama says they all come here to work. They're just folks who want to be reunited with their family. We all know it's about cheap labor and cheap votes. And there's a disturbing fact, which is that 30% of all prisoners are illegal immigrants. And they weren't arrested for breaking immigration law. They murdered, they stabbed, they raped, they did this, they did that, they ran drugs. 30% of prisoners are illegal aliens. 30%. One out of three prisoners, illegal aliens, non-citizens. So don't tell me they all come here to work. You only see the good ones who do work. So let's go back to the lightness of the show. The lightness of being, the incredible lightness of being. What would you include in Obama's presidential library to symbolize his years in power, the 8 years that we still haven't finished them out yet? The best is yet to come. And I've given you some ideas. I can't think of anything positive to put in there. I don't know. A wax figure of a dead veteran, I mean, is a pretty low blow, but it's unfortunately true. A basketball, is there anything wrong with that? He seems to spend more time with basketball players than he does with veterans. A bicycle, he's famous for riding his bike. I ride a bike, but I'm not the president. A pen, because he said he only needs a pen and a piece of paper to sign laws. He doesn't need that meddlesome Congress. A golf club, for sure. What would you put in there? 855-400-7282 is the phone number. It's going to get heavier as the day goes on. It's going to get heavier. I'm trying to avoid heavy politics. It's going to get so heavy you may not be able to take it. He's not a heavy father. He's my brother. And the burden has to be carried by someone other than me. I'll be right back to do it with you, the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation. It's fun. I mean, trying to have a light day and a heavy day. Light and heavy, yin-yang, yin-yang, light and heavy, heavy light. And so we start with jokes, and then we hit you with the immigrant, pardon me, he's not illegal. He was welcomed into America, because we have to be welcoming to the third world. If you're not welcoming to a Pakistani immigrant who winds up killing his wife with a stick because she cooked him lentils instead of the hearty meal of goat meat that he craved, there is something racist about that attitude. You have to open up your whiteness and see things through the eyes of the Pakistani. Hit me, his defense attorney said that where he comes from, it's appropriate to hit his wife. She said it, I didn't. She said that beating your wife is customary. That's his defense attorney. He just went a little too far. This is how far America has come, from the Magna Carta to beating your wife with a stick because she made you lentils instead of goat. And it's good for America when you think about it. It lightens things up. It opens things up in America. You're not like an uptight Christian with a cross. You know, Christian, uptight white male. You don't want to live in the past. You want to live in the 1800s. Lighten up. Join the real world, the big world. Join the third world. You better join it because it's joining you, thanks to Hussein Obama. Hussein Obama wants to third worldize the United States of America. I never saw anything like this. There's not a peep opposing him, nothing. Not a peep coming from the Repubes. The Repubes say, fine, bring them all in. We need the cheap labor. The Dems say, bring them all in. We need the cheap votes. And not a word from the people. People don't matter anymore in this country. I don't want to complain, though. That's all. What's this? Masterpieces stolen, spotted, says the FBI. Attention, FBI. Look into the 710 missing pieces of fine art from the San Francisco Fine Arts Museums, lent to friends and politicians. FBI, anyone home? Knock, knock, who's there? Nobody. Apparently there's an FBI in other parts of the country looking into lost art, but not in San Francisco. This is like the greatest art heist of all time. The last we saw, a local newspaper, Left Wing Rag, showed one of the paintings in Dai Fai's office. On loan, of course. wasn't for sale. I mean, she didn't steal it. We're not accusing her of that. She was just, she borrowed the painting. Now, there's a few paintings in the Young Museum I'd like to borrow. Can you see if you can get me one for my living room wall? I guarantee you I'll give it back. I promise I will give it back. I'll name five paintings I'd like to borrow from the D. Young Museum. WMAL, Sheila, welcome to the Savage Nation. What would you put into the Obama Library?
Hello, yes. I would include Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals, as well as both the Islamic and Socialist flags. And I would top it off with a ventriloquist doll of Harry Reid just to sit on his lap.
God. I take it you're not voting. I take it you're not voting for Democrats in the next election.
Not if they're socialists.
You're voting socialist?
I said no. Not if they are progressive Democrats.
Well, can you name a Democrat who isn't a progressive socialist? I can't think of one.
There you are. No, I am not voting for Democrats.
That's why I say the worst Republican is better than the best Democrat today. See, we have a choice between a liberal party called the Republicans and a socialist party called the Democrats. It's now liberal versus socialist. It's no longer conservative versus liberal. You know that, don't you? The paradigm has shifted so drastically that we have nowhere to go with our vote anymore.
Right. I believe we actually have the socialist party and the true Americans are constitutional conservatives.
Correct. And they've been aced out of every election. But we're not going to complain about it. Did you see what happened in Oklahoma? The Oklahoma, the Senate in Oklahoma, right, or the House of Representatives, whatever they call it there, voted to say no to Sharia law. They were sued by one of the Muslim front groups and lost. The Sharia proponents won a lawsuit against the legislature of the state of Oklahoma because Oklahoma said, no, there will never be Sharia law in Oklahoma. The pressure groups, the Muslim front groups, the sleeper cells sued. And the sleeper cells won. Did you hear me? Do you understand what's going on in the courts of America? Do you have any idea how fast you're losing your country? All right, don't. Let's talk about egg noodles.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. So the Benghazi panel is being formed. Nancy Pelosi took time out to say she's going to include Democrats. I told you they had to in order to get all of the discovery in their hands so they could dismiss the discovery as invalid. They made the right move, of course. And now they're using the race card to say that anyone who opposes, who wants the Benghazi panel is a racist. Listen now. Here comes the knee-jerk response from, this one is Clyburn. Listen to this.
I seem to remember our history. After Reconstruction, when people of color gained political presence.
Oh, my God. Give it up already.
They drummed up all kinds of things, indictments and accusations. They drove these people out of the South, and many of them, some went to Chicago, some came here to Washington, D.C., and I see the same kind of efforts to discredit this president.
How do you feel about a man like Clyburn saying, first of all, going back to Reconstruction to dig up an argument and going back to this kind of thing? Do you understand how desperate the Democrats are? Do you understand that they're using the race card all over again, everywhere they can, to stir up racial hatred and try to embarrass whites into saying enough is enough and to back off? I don't understand if you can't see through this, even if you're a young person. Let's say you're listening to the show, you don't know what I'm talking about. Then you don't know what I'm talking about. Here, man 63 arrested after gunfire in a movie theater. Memphis police said 63-year-old George Golson was arrested and charged Tuesday with reckless endangerment and failing to follow a posted no weapons notice. Police say Golson took a .38 caliber two-shot Derringer into a movie theater in East Memphis. The gun, which was loaded with one bullet, fell out of his pants. I wonder what he was, pants pocket, fired the round. I don't know, maybe he was adjusting something down there. And the gun fell out, and none of the 18 people in the theater were hit. What was it, like a porn theater? They don't even have them anymore. 18 people in a theater sounds like an old-time porn theater. The theater had posted a notice prohibiting weapons inside the building. Golson took a .38. God, Why would you bring a gun to a movie theater? We had this discussion before, and I said that there should be a ban on guns in movie theaters after that cop shot the guy for texting in a movie theater. And many of you got mad at me and said, no, I need my gun. Then you reminded me of the column, the other one, I don't know, whatever. Or Aurora, Illinois, movie theater slaughter. Because you don't know who's going to be with the guy. I could see the argument. I could see the argument. I would say, yes, you should carry guns to theaters. But you should carry loaded machine guns, though, if you're going to go. I mean, you really got to be ready for a big... You know, I would say if you're taking your kid to a Disney movie, bring a machine gun with a bandolier of bullets. I mean, really be ready. Why just carry a loaded automatic? You know, carry a bandolier, some, a 50 cal if you can do it. Get ready for a real rumble in that theater. That's a serious issue. Don't call me on gun. I don't want any gun calls. To death. It's like the third rail of radio. If I want to kill the show, do gun talk or UFO talk. I can do three topics and kill the radio show. Guns, UFOs, and abortion. That's the end of the radio show. Do aliens abort their babies in space? Hold by Do aliens abort their babies in space with guns? That would be the killer. That would be the final. You know, we're coming into Memorial Day weekend, and even Nancy Pelosi is going to shut her mouth for 3 days. She'll stay home and make lasagna or something. Can't she stop? Can't someone tell her, Nancy, you're terrific, you're wonderful, you're smart, but please shut up, you're destroying the Democrat Party. Stop already. Go on vacation. Practice your meatballs. Something. Try the gravy. Make a better gravy for your grandchildren. Please already. Stop it. Can't she stop? What's with this woman's madness to keep talking? Ugh. Okay. So now she's doing the Benghazi hearing. It's going to be a circus. Nothing's going to come of it. It's not going to touch Hillary Clinton. Yeah, I can do politics. Hillary's not going to win. There's a good chance 50-50 she won't win because she looks very old and very tired. And that's not enough to win. Just because she's a woman is not enough. And the name recognition? Give me a break. I mean, what do you remember from the Clinton presidency that was positive? Bombing Serbia? The purple dress? What did he do for this country that's so great? You'll tell me the economy was great, but it had nothing to do with him. The economy was generally good. That's all. Don't call me on that. I'm not interested. What would you put in Obama's library, presidential library? I think that's a funny topic. I think I've covered. Unless there's something great, we'll move on. WBAP in Dallas. Ernie, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage. The perfect item in Obama's presidential library would be his birth certificate in a nice pearl white glass with a gold trim.
Now, would it be the altered birth certificate or the original one from Indonesia? Just kidding.
Hopefully we can find the real one, man. That'd be great.
Well, the health official in Hawaii, interestingly enough, who was intimately involved in proving that there was a birth certificate from the Honolulu hospital, was the only one who died in a plane crash about a year ago. Remember, the plane went down and she's the only one who died.
Yes sir.
Now, what was that about? The others like swam to safety and she drowned.
Same deal with Benghazi, same deal with the Marines that disappeared, you know. Conspiracy.
Oh, wait. You mean what do you mean? You don't mean the two special forces guys killed on that freighter, do you?
Oh, yeah. The ones that killed Osama bin Laden, yes, sir.
Oh, that they went into a private, yeah, and then suddenly they said that they were using drugs on that ship? I don't believe a word of that one. I know it's laughable. All we can do is laugh at the end of the day. 855-400-728. Do we got the callers? WABC George, you're on the Savage Nation from New York City.
Good afternoon, Michael. It's been a while. Clyburn was dead wrong about.
Wait a minute. I haven't been sitting here with bated breath. You must have been. I've been a while since what?
Since I've spoken to you.
Yeah, I think you were banned from the show. But go ahead, go on. Make your point, Neil. Get ready to stay. Get the disco song ready. Staying alive. I need some disco. Go ahead, George. Talk.
Okay. Clyburn was dead wrong. The migration from the south was due primarily to two things. One, jobs in the industrial regions of the north because...
Oh, please. I'm not interested in reconstruction. What? That's not the point about reconstruction. The issue is he's bringing up racism as a cover for the Benghazi scandal.
Yeah, I realize that. The other thing about Obama's library, he needs a copy of Das Kapital, Mao's Red Book, and the Koran.
All right, not bad. Very good. We give you a consolation prize. I'm in a disco mood for this weekend. I'm going to get the wide pants, the bell bottoms. Who was the actor who did that movie? Put on a lot of weight. Who? Travolta, the pilot. I feel bad for Travolta. I really do. The son. Yeah, that son who was a little handicapped. I mean, that touches me, you know. You got to have sympathy for the guy. And anyone who flies a plane can't be bad. You know what I'm saying? Put on a lot of weight. I mean, who doesn't? Time and gravity kills all of us. Have you seen pictures of actors who've aged badly that I put up on michaelsavage.com? I cannot believe what time does to some of these drug addicts. I mean, actors. It's hard to believe how they age worse than the rest of us do. It's like the Portrait of Dorian Gray. Some of them were stone good looking as 20-year-olds. You can't believe them at 50. You just can't believe them. It's like my old joke about Ukrainian women. At 20, your heart stops. At 40, they look like Stalin's housekeeper with a babushka. How does that happen? How does a Ukrainian beauty turn into Stalin's housekeeper in only 20 years? What is it, the American diet? I don't get it. There's another thing I don't understand. There's so many beautiful women from Russia that come over here. When I see black and white movies of like the Siege of Stalingrad or movies about the invasion by, I mean, the peasants didn't look like that in those days. What is it? Why do they look so good all of a sudden? They, what, weight loss is all? You mean if you just lose weight and look skeletal, you look good? Is that the new look? Skeletal? They didn't want to look skeletal in those days. Yeah, potato skins helps you put on weight. The only one who looks skeletal is Al Sharpton. He's on the Ukrainian diet, the Stalingrad diet. Oh, my God. Why does the New York Post run a picture every day of that slob Kardashian? I don't understand this. As a guy who watches the culture, I don't understand who this slob is. I don't even understand why they're popular. I don't know who Kim Yi is. I don't know who Kardashian is. Why are they in the newspaper every day? What did they do? You know more about that slob than you do about a man who discovered a DNA sequencing in 1952 or, let's say, a Nobel Prize winner in chemistry. Why do we want to know what the slob does every day? I don't get it. And that's one of the reasons society is dying, is because Murdoch has poisoned your brain with the New York Post and the other one who runs the Daily News. They poison your mind. Play the disco music. I don't really want to do this right now. This is definitely an anti-Sharia song. That's why I'm playing it. This would not be permitted in Pakistan. Here they just arrested 5 people in Iran for dancing. Great country, nice people. And you don't know which side to back between Israel and Iran, huh? They arrested 5 young people who were caught dancing to a song in Iran. Great people, nice people. I can't leave that story of a Pakistani immigrant who beat his wife to death in their Brooklyn home with a stick after she made the mistake of cooking him lentils for dinner instead of the hearty meal of goat meat that he craved. 75 years old, he beat his wife to death with a stick and left her a bloody mess. But the part that gets me is that a female defense attorney has the nerve to say that he is guilty only of manslaughter because he comes from a culture where he thinks this is appropriate conduct, where he can hit his wife. He culturally believed he had the right to hit his wife and discipline his wife. I'm telling you, the third world will destroy this country. You see, the defense attorney may sound absurd to you, but the cultural defense has been used before, and successfully at that. I remember the case of the Hmong, H-M-O-N-G, the Hmong people, who killed the white people up in the forests of Minnesota, I believe. Remember they killed the hunters in a fit of hunting rage? He targeted them and shot them, including a young girl. And the attorney said it was a cultural defense to kill the white people, because he thought he was being attacked. I don't know what they used. I swear to God. Everything is upside down. It's Alice in Wonderland in America today. No wonder you listen to the show. You try to, you know, it's like, you know, rules for the perplexed. But I'm reaching a point where I need someone to advise me. The country is so scrambled under Obama and the leftists who screwed the country up that I need someone to tell me what to say. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's hard to do this every day. I mean, there's so much damage being done to the fabric of this nation on such a basis, and they're doing it on purpose. You know who Obama's brain is. It's the communists from the streets of Chicago. I know who, like they used to say that Rove was Bush's brain. Now, Rove Unto Himself, I never liked. He always reminded me of, like, I can't say it because it's a family show. I didn't like his look. I didn't like his approach. I put him down years ago. He gave me the creeps. Karl Rove was creepy from day one, from the get-go. But they called Karl Rove Bush's brain. Who then is Obama's brain? Got a great voice. He's got a great delivery. Booming voice. He's got great genetics. Very lucky man. He got a negative in the ears, but a positive in the vocal cords. But the thing is, who is Obama's brain? It's the street radical. Axel, think of a car with a broken axle. Axelrod. Rod Axel. Axelrod. Axelrod is Obama's brain. A lifetime left-wing fanatic who is wrecking the United States of America. And the Republicans are clueless. They have no idea what's going on. They really are stupid. At the end of the day, they are just stupid. They're like yutzes, like Schmendrix. I don't understand the whole Republican Party thing. They're like guys who either inherited money in the family business or... I don't know. Most of them are like, not all, obviously. They're like, you know, they inherited money. They don't know what's going on. They don't even know we're America. They don't care. No identity with it. What do you want to talk about? We finished with the library. Should we move on to the other stories? All right. I gave you the jokes. Okay. A few more stories I saw today. Here we go. The old stackaroo. New York City. Crime is spiking because of the left-wingers in New York who restricted the NYPD as racist. And so now it's Mad City again. Fury at politicians who curbed cops now crying foul at crime spike. Are you listening? They pointed fingers at the cops. They reined them in on the stop and frisk. And now crime is getting out of control. What's next? The squeegee men will be back in New York City to ruin your windows? I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I'm getting ready for Memorial Day weekend, Teddy. I can't wait for a three-dayer. Drive around, slather beef with sauce, swill alcohol. Here's one for you from California. Porn stars form Free Speech Coalition to fight condom sex bill in California. I swear to God. A delegation of porn stars known as the Free Speech Coalition traveled to Sacramento to protest purported First Amendment violations inherent in a newly proposed California bill that would require them to wear condoms. According to the LA Weekly, AB 1576 could prescribe criminal penalty for not using condoms by actors. The Weekly reports that the measure would also deny their performers the right to federally mandated medical privacy. So, in other words, they've now turned using a condom into the First Amendment. See, that's what the founders had in mind when they passed the First Amendment and fought and died for it, was that a bunch of sluts could argue that using condoms is against the First Amendment. This is what I mean by the perversion of the law by the vermin who went to law school in the last generation. The law itself has been perverted by the garbage that they took into law schools. Can you believe what's going on in your country? No, you can't blame Obama for this. You can blame the lawyers for this. Free Speech Coalition saying that being forced to use condoms is a violation of their First Amendment right to free speech. Well, I could say that if you speak through that part of your body, yes, maybe it would apply. But most of us speak through our mouths. It's the Savage Nation. Sorry to be vulgar, but sometimes you have to be.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Just like the one. Did I hit the wrong button? It's Memorial Day, it's not Christmas. Well, the reason I'm playing White Christmas by Bing Crosby will become apparent to you over the next 15 minutes. You see, I was scanning the web yesterday, and I found an article on Prison Planet of a conference that's being run around the country by racists called White Privilege, where they're brainwashing teachers and students into hating white people. No whites allowed, it said. Student booted from conference because of skin color. They said because I was white, they would feel unsafe. I'm not making any of this up. Somebody went into one of these brainwashing sessions, the White Privilege Conference in Madison, Wisconsin, with a hidden camera. And when the white student reporter attempted to enter the workshop being held at the conference, he was thrown out of the area because being white was too offensive to other participants, the majority of whom were black, and they were teachers. The reason? An organizer told the investigator for Prison Planet the following. It can feel, for some people of color, unsafe. Not universally, like in your group, everybody was fine, but for some people it can feel like, oh, I don't. Because I was white, they would feel unsafe, a reporter asked as he was let out of the workshop. Exactly, the organizer said. And it's not because you've done anything. You seem like a perfectly fine white person. But it's because of experiences that some blacks have had with others. So this is an actual conference. It's not out of the Mad Comic. And the party is against whites and against Christianity. The training session at the Hilton Hotel. The Hilton Hotel had nothing to do with it. They're paid to do this. And Christianity, they say, is not a system of faith. According to these people, quote, a recurring theme at the White Privilege Conference is the negative effects of European Christian culture. Christianity is presented not as a system of spiritual faith, but as an institutionalized system of social oppression like racism or sexism. At the conference, the following was overheard. The longer you are in the Tea Party, the more racist you become. Racism is central to America, the black said. In our nation, racism, white people do not experience racism. White people can experience discrimination, but not racism. Should I play any of this for you? Because I want to warn you about something. I am Linkaeus, the pilot seer of the Argonauts of the Savage Nation. I'm a student of history. I saw how the Nazis began with the Jews. It did not begin with the death camps. Long before the boxcars, they demonized a certain race in Germany. And it started out rather in a benign way. Then it led to boycotts, just as there are boycotts today of hotels that gays find offensive, such as the Beverly Hills Hotel. Just as there are boycotts of businesses that do business with Israel. We're on the road to Nazism in this country, as sure as I'm standing here. And these white privilege conferences are marginalizing and demonizing white people and Christians, which can only lead to something so horrible that I dare not even say it on the radio. They must be stopped. Now, if I show you the tape, you can get it yourself on Prison Planet. Most of you won't go to the website. You'll see people sitting in that audience at the hotel being brainwashed into hating whites and hating Christians. And when someone went in there with a hidden camera, he was thrown out because he was white. Now, the definition of racism, according to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, which is a racist dictionary, I agree. It's not a rap dictionary. And Merriam-Webster, who were they but white racists? But the Merriam-Webster Racist Dictionary defines racism as the poor treatment of or violence against people because of their race and racial prejudice or discrimination. But then what do white people know? They only wrote the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. It's not the rap dictionary. And so I've got to ask you a few questions about this. I haven't formulated any questions. I am not terrified. I'm angered by this. I'm angered that there are federal funds for white privilege conferences. I'm angered that teachers are forced to go to these white privilege conferences. I'm angered that your children are going to colleges where they're being indoctrinated in the same hatred of themselves and their religion. I'm angered that you won't do anything to stop it. And so I want to do something for you, because maybe you think I'm making this up, that there was a No Whites Allowed conference because of a skin color. And it was a group of organizers of the annual White Privilege Conference that took place in Madison, Wisconsin. And I'm going to play for you a piece of this tape that you're not going to believe. It's compelling radio. Neil, let's hear the first part of it.
The White Privilege Conference, or WPC, is an annual gathering of thousands of private and public educators, students, and school administrators from across the country. Participants examine and confront what they see as systemic race-based privilege in America. In our previous reports, we've taken you behind the scenes at the White Privilege Conference.
But the institutionalized racism that is in America can't be denied. It can't be. I mean, you can't really argue against it. It is what it is, and this country was built on white principles for white people.
We, the people. So if we go back to the Constitution, we, the people, who was it? White men, land-owning, wealthy, Christian. They claimed to be straight at the time. Who knows?
In our nation, racism, white people do not experience racism. White people can experience discrimination, but not white, not racism.
The longer you are in the Tea Party, the more racist you become.
We've also shown you how the conference trains teachers to induct children as young as 4 years old into the school of white privilege ideology.
Racism is central to America.
We want the children to understand that racism is systematic and institutionalized.
White privilege is something that white people have, meaning they have an advantage to a lot of things.
In our final report, we ask the question, can the attendees of the White Privilege Conference abide by the principles established by the white privilege theory? A recurring theme at the White Privilege Conference is the negative effects of European Christian culture. Christianity is presented not as a system of spiritual faith, but as an institutionalized system of social oppression, like racism or sexism.
So, what do I mean by Christian hegemony? Very simply, I define it as the everyday, pervasive, deep-seated, and institutionalized dominance of Christian values, Christian institutions, leaders, and Christians as a group, primarily for the benefit of Christian ruling elites. So that's very similar to how we might define racism or sexism or other systems of oppression.
But do conference attendees consider other world religions through the same critical lens? During his workshop, White American Islamophobia, Amir Ahmed explains how Islam was spread through Africa by economic coercion.
What happened in West Africa is the kings, you know, you have to be Muslim to have access to the Islamic trade routes. So the West African kings converted to Islam in order to be able to have access to these trade routes. So it wasn't through some kind of foreign colonization. It was through indigenous conversion for various reasons, politically, economically, socially, or just belief.
Here, Ahmed casually dismisses concerns about the Muslim Brotherhood, characterizing it as a simple political party.
Then, of course, there was the Huma Abedin side of that, who was an aide to Hillary Clinton, which Michelle Bachmann said that the administration has ties to the Muslim Brotherhood.
Turn the foaming moron racist off. I think you've gotten a flavor for what they're doing behind closed doors to marginalize and hate white people and Christians. Now, you may say, what can I do about it? You can do plenty about it. First of all, if they subject your daughter or your son to this in school, I want you to go in there, and I want you to be angry, and I want you to get in the face of the administrator. I want you to get right in front of her face, and I want you to yell at her, and I want you to scream at her, and I want you to tell her to never, ever subject your children to this kind of hatred for white people and to Christians. And you'll have her arrested for brainwashing your daughter or your son. You can do that. You can join the savage army. There are more of us than there are them. You want to make it clear? You want to wind up a slave in your own nation? You want to wind up worse than a slave in your own nation? Let these vermin keep this up. Let these white privileged communist vermin keep this up, because the organizers don't happen to be black. The organizers are hardcore left-wing fanatic whites. Every last one of the organizers of these white privilege conferences are the communist white people. And now they've come out of the closet. They've come up from under the rocks because they have Obama in the White House. They have Holder in the Attorney General's office. And they feel invincible. They feel that they can literally become naked in front of all of you and show their hatred for whites, hatred for Christians, and to stir up people of color to a revolutionary fervor to take over your possessions, to overturn the entire society and steal what is yours, as was done in ex-Rhodesia. And if you want Zimbabwe in this country, then do nothing. Just go along and get along. I told you the show was going to go from light to heavy. I warned you at the beginning, so don't think I didn't warn you. This show today came to you with a warning label. I started with jokes. I went to what would you put in the Obama Presidential Library. It was light, wasn't it? And then suddenly you got hit with the yang. I gave you the yin, now you got the yang. When I come back, I will give you a sermon on white male inventions. I will show you what white male Christians gave the world. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. I thought I would play this racist relic of the 1960s, a white sport coat. It's been banned now, I guess, in America. Because you can't have a white sport coat. I mean, obviously, it's a mark of the antebellum South to wear a white sport coat. In fact, you should burn all of your white clothing. You might be confused with a sheet. In fact, you should burn... No, I think, in fact, Obama should send Acorn workers into your house to see if you have white sheets in your linen closet. Because you never know, they could be used at night for cross burnings. You never know. I mean, the absurdity of what's going on in this country under this administration and the outlandishness of a white privilege conference. And it's not the first time I've talked about it, but it's not going to be the last time either, I can guarantee you. So they're attacking Christianity as a religion. They're attacking whiteness as a race. And it's the beginning of something terrible in this country. And the reason it's happening is because Alinsky's minions are running the country in the form of Axelrod and the others from Chicago who are using race as a weapon against this society. How else do you think we have what we have in this country? People are intimidated. They're afraid to say anything. They're afraid to be called a racist or a homophobe. And as a result now, the other side is using insanity as a weapon. But I want to remind you of something. I want to remind you of white male inventions. Trains, planes, cars, rockets, telescopes, tires, telephones, radios, television, electricity, atomic energy, computers, and fax machines. These are all miracles that we have all used, made possible by the minds and spirits of men with names like Ampere, Bell, Caselli, Edison, Ohm, Faraday, Einstein, Cohen, Teller, Shockley, Hertz, Marconi, Morse, Popov, Ford, Volta, Michelin, Dunlop, Watt, Diesel, Galileo, and the other dead white males of the white privilege conference universe. Now, why am I pointing this out? I'm pointing it out for an obvious reason. These inventions did not just spring into existence by themselves. They have traceable origins. And the great majority of these inventions have been brought about by the genius and inventiveness of this most despicable of genders, the dreaded white male. Or to be exact, by specific individual white males. Don't get me wrong. This is not to discredit the many contributions coming from non-Caucasians. But fact is fact. Our most important and consequential inventions have come almost exclusively from Caucasian males. Now, curse me if you will, but don't call me a liar, because then you'll have to come up with the proof that I'm wrong, and you can't. I didn't say that there were no important contributions from non-Caucasians. I said that the overwhelming majority of major inventions came from this one group. Now, I know about such things as the Chinese and gunpowder. But they didn't take it much beyond firecrackers and pyrotechnics. And yes, I know about the pyramids and masonry of South America and the zero of the Arabs. But would we have atomic physics and electricity if it hadn't been for the ancient Greek philosophers who, for example, had the idea that all matter consists of tiny atoms? That was Aristotle in the 5th century B.C. Remember the ancient Greek philosophers who Al Sharpton called a bunch of homos? He's now been rewarded with one prize after another. A frequent visitor to the White House. Did you know that Aristotle in the 5th century B.C. used electric charges to treat gout? Do you know that Archimedes perceived the center of gravity of solids, cylinders, and spheres? And from these basic discoveries of Greek civilization, it then went to the Romans. And after the fall of Rome, it passed to later Europeans who expanded on the scientific knowledge. In modern times, these ideas were developed by such Europeans as Volta, Ampere, Watts, Bell, Edison, and Einstein, who provided the basis for most of the technical wonders of today. And all of them are hated on university campuses and marginalized as dreaded white males. Now, maybe you got your enlightenment from one of the Ivy League institutions of this education. Maybe they taught you that it's all the result of white racism and oppression. That every time a potential Einstein, Edison, or Ford popped up in the third world, a white squad would swoop down and eliminate him before he had a chance to prove himself. Perhaps that's what your daughter has been taught. Well, but the facts are the facts. And what you must also understand is many of these great men pursued their genius at great personal risk, boys and girls. Like the astronomer Galileo, who proved that the Earth revolves around the sun. He was threatened with death. And yet he and other men of genius and courage refused to be suppressed, even if it meant their lives. They wouldn't permit any race, gender, group, or class to keep them from their pursuit of truth and excellence, whatever the cost. Ladies and gentlemen, we are entering the darkest phase in American history under this demonic administration. I use the word demonic, and I stick by my word, demonic.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Cherry Pink and Apple Blossom time. Actually, it's Cherry Pink and Apple Blossom White, isn't it? Is that the lyric? Am I allowed to say that? I mean, yeah, I think that was the lyric at the time. I mean, it was the end of all time, and they could make a song like that. Cherry Pink and Apple Blossom White. I mean, how racist can you get? I mean, the trees themselves should be cut down. I think apple blossoms are offensive, and I think that all apple trees across America by edict of Eric Holder should be cut down. Just that, think about what I'm saying. If no whites are allowed in a white privilege conference because it may offend people who are not white, think about all the trees with white flowers that have been planted in this country by the original colonists who were all white Christians, and they planted those trees to offend people. Why would they plant an apple tree? Knowing that the flower was white, it would offend the Native American. And so they brought apple trees in. I mean, you think about it through the eyes of the white race, the progressives. This is how they see things. You understand what I'm saying? Do you get this? No? Who do you want me to take? Which caller? Line 5? 6? 6? 6 is gone. The one person who was offended hung up. John, on KSFO in San Francisco, go ahead, please. John, on KSFO, are you there?
Dr. Savage, I want to tell you that I went to school, University of Wisconsin. I graduated from there 12 years ago. And after hearing that that clip that you played, I'm ashamed that I went to school there. It's ridiculous. And my kids were...
John, can you believe that they're teaching white privilege conferences across America and they're subjecting teachers to this brainwashing? They're getting away with it? Some of them are getting federal and state funds for these brainwashing sessions?
No, it's beyond comprehension to me. I cannot believe it. And
it's going on in our country, and that's why I have an obligation to play this for the show. You know, I have thought about this long and hard, and I thought about modern Christianity. And if you go back to ancient times, through the Crusades, when they were fighting Muslims and Jews and everyone else, they were vicious, vicious times. But in modern times, modern Christianity has been a force of lightness, elevation, creativity, inventiveness, all positive things. I mean, the Christian religion has brought greatness to the world. Greatness to the world. Modern Christianity is a great leavening agent for this world that we live in. I don't know if you understand what it does. By teaching optimism, by teaching people to have faith in the hereafter, by teaching people morality, Christianity is a positive force in the world. And yet you have institutions that are teaching people to hate not Sharia law, not Muslims who beat their wives to death with a stick because they cooked them a lentil instead of a goat meat in Brooklyn and such. No, but that Christianity is an evil religion. Now, who was behind this? Who was behind this are the communists who studied Alinsky, Karl Marx. Remember we talked about the SDS yesterday, the Students for a Democrat Society from the 60s? They are now 60, 70 years old. They are instructing this hatred. They are behind this hatred. They are the most bitter, dangerous people in the United States of America. And don't make a mistake about it. Many of them are inside, like boll weevils, inside the administration that is doing such damage to this country. That's why I played it for you. Here's a piece of news that you're going to find shocking. You know about the VA scandal? This happened minutes ago. It is from Free Beacon. Senate Democrats just blocked a bill to increase accountability at scandal-plagued Veterans Affairs Department. They just blocked this bill. It passed the House. It happened today. Senator Marco Rubio asked for consent to take up and pass the Veterans Affairs Management Accountability Act that would have made it easier for the scandal-plagued department to fire employees based on poor performance. Now, the House passed the legislation yesterday with a bipartisan vote of 390 to 333. Only Democrat slime objected. 390 to 33, it passed yesterday. Now, you figured the Senate would follow suit, right? No. Senator Bernie Sanders, that piece of human... Okay, I'll stop. That's Salenterate from Brooklyn, who has hoodwinked the people of Vermont. The one who talks like that from Brooklyn, Senator Bernie Sanders, went to Vermont and tricked everyone with his progressivism. A union-backed, the only socialist, by the way, in the Senate, an open socialist, Bernie Sanders, a red diaper dopa baby from Brooklyn, but a senator from Vermont, a big, big stooge of the unions, objected to this bill on behalf of Senate Democrats. Sanders blocked it. He said he will not pass it. He's going to hold a hearing on it. Now, Sanders, the communist, chairs the Senate Committee on Veterans Affairs. Can you believe how? Could you see how deeply we are ruined in this country? That a man who calls himself a socialist, who hates the military, has been elevated to the Senate Committee on Veterans Affairs. Do you understand what's happened to the country? Do you understand how deeply embedded these leftists are in this country? When asked about reports of multiple deaths related to long wait times at the VA healthcare system, Sanders said to CNN, people die every day. People die every day. That's what's going on in the country. It just happened. Bernie Sanders, Democrat Party, Democrats, Harry Reid, and the unions blocked a bill passed by the House just now that would have made it more easy to fire people who were found to have committed scandals at the VA office, VA departments across America. Go ahead. All you idiots who are veterans who vote Democrat, keep voting. Dig your own grave. Get the lime and get the shovel. Would you like to hear more? I'd like to go on with more of this. It's going to get worse. I'm warning you. I'm warning you, the White Privilege Conference was so bad, you can hear it yourself on the Prison Planet website, but you have to understand that this is going to be tough for you to listen to. Neil, let's start clip number three, the rest of the hidden tape, at the clip two. Listen to what went on at the White Privilege Conference in Madison, Wisconsin.
The day after Ahmed hosted his workshop, a rioting mob of the Muslim Brotherhood slaughtered a young Coptic woman for being a Christian and opened fire on her church, killing three others. But the attendees of the White Privilege Conference reserved their criticism for the historical misdeeds of European Christians long dead. Contemporary injustices perpetrated by people of color are either ignored or forgiven. The mission of the WPC is to provide a challenging, collaborative, and comprehensive experience. But what's collaborative about segregated workshops? In order to disrupt institutionalized and systemic racism, the White Privilege Conference hosts separate but equal race-based workshops, one for whites only and one for people of color. This conference organizer explains that the segregated workshops offer a safe space for attendees.
It can feel, for some people of color, unsafe. Mm-hmm. Right? Not universally, like in your group, everybody was fine. But for some people, they can feel like, oh, I don't...
Because I was white, they would feel unsafe.
Exactly. And it's not because you've done anything. You seem like a perfect this person. Mm-hmm. But it's because of the experiences they've had with others.
Another one of the central tenets of white privilege theory is that the institutional racism of white privilege is a tool of capitalism. and that capitalism, therefore, must be destroyed as an economic system. Yet capitalism is on display at every turn. If you'd like a teaching and facilitator guide to help you explain white privilege ideology to others, you can purchase one for $99. And nothing says, I've disrupted white privilege like a $50 polo shirt. One workshop's message in particular seemed to be at odds with the conference's popular contempt for the free market. Victor Woods, author of A Breed Apart, argues that America is filled with opportunity and that anyone can achieve success if they work hard and persevere.
This man had a shotgun on my head. We are friends now and do conferences together. Anything you want to do, you can do. You know who I met with last month? Drake, CFO. Sat down with him working on possibly Drake playing me in the movie. I wrote these books, Successfully Achieving Your Vision. Eyesight's what you see in front of you. Vision is what you see down the road. Work ethic. Perseverance. You know how long it took me to finish this book? 5 years. You know how long it took me to get on CNN? 10 years. It takes time, patience, commitment, focus, faith. See, the world opens up for a man or woman who knows where they're going.
An unapologetic capitalist, Woods encourages the conference attendees to purchase his book if they want to learn the details of his life story.
You'd be surprised when people say, how did you do it? Somebody, I guarantee you, someone in this session.
It's all a scam, but it's a dangerous one. They're brainwashing our teachers and our students. Even corporations have diversity training sessions. I went to 18 years ago. I walked out. I was the only one in the radio station. You ask people to remember it. They had diversity trainers. They were the most disgusting people I'd ever seen in my life. And they started talking against Christianity and against white people. I stood up and I said, you're offending me, and I dare you. I dare you right now. Well, I went on and on, and I said, I'm not listening to your rubbish and your garbage, and I don't care what happens to me. I walked out, and as a result, the general manager of the radio station canceled all future diversity training sessions, which were imposed upon that station and all the others in the chain owned by I can't name the corporation. Diversity training has been forced upon you, forced upon the Army at West Point, forced upon the Navy at Annapolis, forced upon the Air Force Academy at Colorado Springs, by the most despicable human beings in the United States of America. It's all anti-Christian, anti-white hatred under the guise of diversity training. And people put up with it because they're afraid to stand up to it. And I'm asking you what you think about this diversity training in these white privilege conferences. How do you feel listening to this? Are you offended that I played it? Should I not have played it? WJR in Detroit. Chris, go ahead, please. What do you think of that piece on white privilege and the brainwashing?
Michael, it's a privilege to speak with you, and I'm not offended, but I'm just heartsick. That's the feeling I get inside me. I'm just heartsick that these people do this, and I'm trying to raise my children not to be racist, and this is the way things are going. That
you're raising your children to be sheeple, to be stepped upon and spit out like garbage. Because let me tell you something, they're going to be marginalized farther and farther unless you stand up to this brainwashing in the schools. And if you think it's limited to teachers at Madison, you're mistaken. The elementary schools are teaching similar stories. They're teaching and preaching anti-capitalism. They're starting to teach anti-Christian messages to our children. And unless the parents are vigilant, this is going to get worse before it gets better. I'm sorry you're agitated. I'm sorry I agitated you. But you need to know what's going on. What else can I do as a talk show but show you from the perimeters of society what's happening in this country?
You're doing the right thing. You're doing the exact thing that we need, is this message. Because if I didn't hear you bring this to my attention, I couldn't go home today to tell my children, to hug my children and teach them what's going on out there.
Yeah, and teach your children to tell you if, here's what I want you all to do. I want you to tell your children that if any teacher or any outside person comes in and starts to teach anything against white people, or against any race for that matter, but it won't be against any other race, you know that. They teach anything against whites, Christians, or capitalism, They're to come home and tell you who did it and when. And then I want you to stand up and be counted. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Now, you may say, Savage, why are you stirring up enmity in the country by playing the White Privilege Conference, the secret tape of what they were doing? How dare you show America what's going on behind closed doors? You have no right to do that. I mean, you're guiltier than they are. I'm fighting fire with fire, and I'll tell you why. Because last weekend, the commencement speeches across America, Michelle Obama, Eric Holder, Nancy Pelosi, and Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, Timothy Geithner gave race-based speeches to stir up the masses against white people. They were talking about white privilege. They're trying to stir up a racial war in America. How blind can you be to what Obama's doing? And why are they doing it? Why is the same message coming out of Michelle's mouth as Timothy Geithner's mouth? Why? Because they've run out of ideas and they've been exposed for the failures and the con men that they are. So they're going back to what got them where they are, which is race baiting. Listen to the speeches from last weekend.
You all take the diversity you're surrounded by for granted. You probably don't even notice it. And that's understandable, given the country you have grown up in.
Our founders were successful disruptors of the then status quo. Being called a disruptor, in my view, is a very high compliment.
If we don't do more to coordinate an attack on extreme poverty, provide education, opportunity, and jobs, we invite instability, and I promise you, radical extremism is all too ready to fill the vacuum left behind.
How well you do in life today, how good your education is, how good your health care is, depends too much on the color of your skin or how rich your parents is. And that's something that should worry all Americans.
And segregation has reoccurred. Zero tolerance school discipline practices affect black males at a rate 3 times higher than their white peers.
Because the fact is that your experience here in Topeka would have been unimaginable back in 1954. When Brown versus Board of Education first went to the Supreme Court, this would not be possible.
I rest my case. An entire administration on one message, which is all based on race, all based on oppression, using the methodology that they use to get where they are. And now that they're in trouble, now that they've been found out for the con men and the failures that they are, they're going back to race baiting. Here's a last message for those of you of the Jewish faith who love Obama. Well, I can't even read it to you. I can't read it to you. Pope to meet Palestinian leader who endorsed the extermination of Jews. You say, what does it have to do with Obama? Nothing. Pope to meet Palestinian leader who endorsed the extermination of Jews. We are living in the most dangerous times in my life. Have a nice day.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Just like the one. It is The Savage Nation. We're playing White Christmas for Memorial Day to alert you to the fact that the racists in America are conducting white privilege conferences where they attack whites, Christians, and capitalism in the guise of fairness. And I say it's very dangerous. And this follows the speeches last weekend by Michelle Obama, Hillary Clinton, Timothy Geithner, John Kerry, and, of course, the Attorney General, not to be outdone. Again, race baiting, because their policies have been seen for what they are. Consequently, they must go back to the basics that got them where they are, which is race baiting. And we have to fight fire with fire. And I hope I didn't offend you. I hope I alerted you. That's all. Here's some news to go with that. Russia threatens an end of a $3.4 billion Canadian aircraft deal. See, they're retaliating. You want to fight with Russia? Then you're going to fight with Russia. Moscow is considering ending its $3.4 billion contract with Bombardier in Canada to build their aircraft. It's getting worse. The Pentagon is sending another warship to the Black Sea. They're not happy with the fact that no war has broken out. And so the military-industrial complexers are sending a guided missile cruiser to the Black Sea. That would be the equivalent of Russia sending a guided missile cruiser to the Gulf of Mexico. Think of the Black Sea as the Gulf of Mexico. What would you do if you woke up and you read that Russia was sending warships to the Gulf of Mexico? That's what we're doing to Russia right now. So your administration is looking to start a war. Meanwhile, China and Russia signed a 30-year gas deal. That's a big news story. Gazprom, China and Russia signed a 30-year gas deal. They're being pushed together by Obama's incompetence and by pushing us into a third world, cold war, let's say, not a world war. We're in a cold war with Russia. They're pushing China and Russia together. 855-407-282, if you care to talk about any of these topics. WMAL in Washington, D.C. Curtis, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Dr. Savage, I just wanted to say that, you know, I'm a little bit saddened by this whole matter. I had no idea this was going on, and it's kind of crazy. I mean, I have no idea what's going to come of it.
No, I'm saying to you, how can any fair-minded person sit and listen to this kind of white privilege conference without getting agitated? They're trying to stir up hatred. I have an obligation as a talk show host to find these things and show you what's going on because most of us don't know.
Yeah, exactly right. I didn't know. And,
they're not only attacking white people, they're attacking Christianity itself and giving Muslims a pass. Now, why would white communists attack Christianity and not talk about the Islamic murderers around the planet?
I have no idea.
Well, I have an idea, and I'm glad you're listening to my show. That's my job. It's that simple. It's my job. It's what I'm supposed to do. It's my job. Now, if you're more interested in sports or entertainment, you have channels you can listen to for that. I entertained you in the beginning of the first hour. I read your bad jokes, which are funny. I don't even have them anymore. They were funny. But I can't do it for 3 hours in a row. I told you get light and then heavy. I told you be a yin and a yang. I mean, if you're more interested in Woody Allen, for example, and laughing, you can go watch a Woody Allen movie this weekend where he mocks himself as a Jew. Woody Allen, as I said to you, is the Stephen Fetchett of the Jewish world. Many of you don't know who Stephen Fetchett was, but I did. Which was, you know, Stephen Fetchett was a black actor in the 40s who made a mockery of the black male. He was a servile, he created a servile image of the black male. You know, yeah, boss. And the white people loved him for it because they wanted that stereotype. And he made a fortune mocking his own race and his own sex. So Woody Allen, following in the footsteps of Stephen Fetchett, has mocked himself as a Jewish male in term. You know, the all Jews are neurotic. All Jews are weak. All Jews are cowards. That's Woody Allen's role model. That's why everyone loves him. That's why they laugh at him, because he fulfills the role of a Jewish male, a stereotypical role. You'll never see a tough Jew presented by Woody Allen. You'll never see an Israeli, for example, defending his homeland. You'll never see an American war veteran of Jewish faith, ever. Well, he's not alone in that. Larry David is in the same mold of mocking himself as a Jew. Every show, as funny as they are, is self-mockery. And there's a fortune to be made in it. There's a fortune. I could do that as well. I could have fun and make an idiot of myself every day. I try not to, but once in a while I do. We all do. If you're on the air 3 hours a day, you're going to make a couple of mistakes and also make a fool of yourself at some point. But what can you do? You have a dog keep you in line, a service dog. You make sure the dog barked when I said that. He said, you're going off. See, he's a very good producer, my dog. He heard me going off. He feels it. See, he feels the chemicals changing in my brain. And he's giving little woofs in the background saying, Savage, get back, get back, get back. Aries, March 21st, you will jump right in to get things done today. Your mind is working fast and your body isn't far behind it. So do what feels right and do it magnificently. You will surprise a few people, including yourself, by what you achieve. Again, I have to achieve again? Can I please stop achieving? I'm sick of achieving. I'm tired of achieving. I'm just exhausted from achieving. Okay, Teddy, you calm now? I can go back to the regular show. Colorado Springs, Eddie, welcome to the program. What's on your mind today?
Hello, Dr. Savage. I love you and I love your show. I wanted to talk about white privilege today. First, when I heard about white privilege, I said, well, I'm a white man. What do I have privileges to do that other people don't? So I figured I'll take a look at my life. I go to the gas station, the movie theater, the mall, golf course, McDonald's, Walmart. Is that because I'm white? Are black people not allowed to go to those places? I don't think so. So where is my white privilege?
There is none. It's a myth. It's created by the left-wing white communists to stir up people of color against white people. It's to stir up Muslims and others against Christians. Basically, it's a communist tactic to overturn the entire society.
And I have a question. Should we push back with something like...
Push back like I'm pushing back. Pay attention to what your children are being taught in schools, and tell your child to come home if at any time they are brainwashed by their teachers or an outside consultant or brought to a so-called training day or seminar to learn such things there, to report it to you immediately. And you are to demand a meeting with the school principal immediately. And if they don't respond, you're to call the Savage Nation and report it to me. And we will hire a legal team to go after your school principal or administrator, and we will sue that school for brainwashing your child. It's that simple. WVLK Radio. Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Dr. Savage. My son was in his senior year in high school, and they were doing Black Awareness Week where they would let the black children go in and sit down and have lunch while the white kids stood in the hallway, and to show them how unfair white people were to blacks throughout, the 50s, 60s, et cetera.
What is the benefit of doing that in this day and age? When people have learned to come together, what do you gain by driving them apart? What do you gain by creating a wedge between the races? You know, Obama is such a trickster. He came into power saying he'd be a uniter. He is the most divisive president in American history, wouldn't you say?
I would say he's the most useless president in American history. My son called me, and I had to leave work to go take him out of school because he was so upset that, he said, Dad, I wasn't born then. Don't have a clue.
That's right. He's not guilty, but they're trying to make him guilty.
Yes, they are. So I wanted to share that with you because there's more of that going on than people really realize where, to be white is not to be, it's just, if you're white, you're wrong. That's the bottom line.
No, well, you got to stand up to these racists, and behind it all are white communists who are trying to cause a revolution in the country. Make no mistake about it. This is not coming from African Americans. This is coming from white. You call them liberals. I call them communist agitators, and I thank you for the call. Here's a very disturbing occurrence. You know I've been critical of the Pope for being oriented towards socialism and communism, calling for income redistribution and whatnot. This is a very dangerous man, this Pope. Mark my words, it's going to get much worse. I think he's probably the worst pope in modern American history. Here is a story that just came out. Pope to visit Palestinian Authority Mufti who endorsed the extermination of Jews. O Muslim servant of Allah, he said, there is a Jew behind me, come and kill him. That's Palestinian Authority Mufti Sheikh Mohammed Hussein. Watchdog Palestinian Media Watch on Tuesday warned that Pope Francis, as the most senior figure in the Catholic Church, is scheduled to meet with a leader who is renowned for his hatred of Jews. As an ongoing record of hate speech, he has been condemned internationally. And yet the Pope is... Okay, Teddy, I'm sorry. I went over the line. See, Teddy pulled me back in. He felt the brain chemicals through the air. In 2012, the Mufti preached that it is Muslim destiny to kill the Jews. On another occasion in the Al-Aqsa Mosque, this Mufti, taught that Jews were the enemies of Allah. And in another speech, he said that the souls of suicide bombers, quote, tell us to follow in their path. Shall I go on? Because he's anti-Christian as well. He went on. And what I'm asking you is, do you think it's appropriate? Of course it's not appropriate. Why would the Pope meet with such a hate-spewing Muslim such as this? Why would he meet with someone who preaches genocide? Why would the Pope meet with a genocidal maniac like this Mufti? Why would the Pope meet with an individual who teaches such vile hatred not heard since Hitler's time? Why would the Pope meet with a Mufti who calls to exterminate Jews? Why would the Pope meet with a mufti who has been condemned around the world? Answer, he goes where the money is. You don't like it? It's too bad. It's too bad. Religion Incorporated, remember what I told you. Remember what I told you. It's all about money. So the Pope figured out that there's more Arabs than there are Jews. He figures, what the heck do I care? There aren't that many Jews. I'll make friends with them. That's my opinion. Is it offensive to you? Too bad. It doesn't matter if I offend you. Maybe you need to be offended. Maybe you need to be offended by your own church or your own synagogue. Maybe you need to wake up to the fact that you're living in very strange and very dangerous times. I'm only following Nancy Pelosi's advice. She said be a disruptor. And so in that regard, I'm really following the fine speaker in her recommendation that we be disruptors. So I'm trying to disrupt you. I'm trying to disrupt you from your comfort zone by waking you up. Nancy Pelosi would approve of me, I'm sure, wouldn't she? She said that disruptor is a holy person. I'm doing only what Nancy Pelosi told us to do, be disruptors. And I recommend you become a disruptor. I want you to go to your schools and find out what they're teaching your children. And I want you to disrupt the perverts who have penetrated every elementary school in this country, who are poisoning your boys' and your girls' minds. I want you to be a disruptor in your churches the next time your little priest starts preaching anti-capitalism in the guise of fairness. I want you to disrupt that church. I want you to do what Nancy Pelosi says is a noble thing. I want you to be a disruptor. At this point, we are reaching 18 minutes after the hour. I'm going to take a quick break and take your calls, invite your calls at 855-400-7282. This is the one and only Savage Nation. Disrupt with me. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. You have to understand what's going on. This entire administration is on one message, and that message is it went from inequality and fairness to racism. They're desperate, and desperate people, when their backs are to a wall, are capable of many very bad things. This is so bad, the messaging on racism from this administration, that even the privileged Democratic Senator Rockefeller is using the race card. I'm not making this up. Listen to Rockefeller in 21.
I'll be able to dig up some emails that make part of the Affordable Care Act that doesn't look good, especially from people who've made up their mind that they don't want it to work because they don't like the president. Maybe he's of the wrong color, something of that sort. I've seen a lot of that, and okay. I know a lot of that.
This is Rockefeller. This is Rockefeller, one of the richest men in the world, now on the same message of racism. Whoever rejects anything Obama does is a racist. Do you understand the danger we are in when you have such a cowardly, immature administration as this, that anything is liable to happen? They've wrecked the world. They have wrecked the world. They brought us to a new world order that's frightening. We're on the verge of a new Cold War with Russia. They drove Russia and China together. Libya is in flames. Syria is in flames. Ukraine is in flames. Everything that has his handprints on it has been a disaster. And now they're on one message in order to keep the American people bamboozled and in control, to corral you, in other words, with fear and guilt. They're using the guilt of racism to keep you in your corral. They've put you in the corral and got you to elect this clown based on white guilt. I'm going to say it again. Remember, Obama could never have been elected had there not been white people voting for him. I mean, that's a fact of reality. So how do they get so many white people to vote for an unknown senator who achieved nothing? How? Many white people have been brainwashed for 20, 30 years with guilt. And they didn't want to look like they were racist. And then there was the anti-Bush vote. And then there was the anti-war vote. He lied about ending wars. Instead, he's brought us closer to a conflagration around the world. So, look, I don't want to go down the litany of things that Obama has done. I think it's pretty clear he's the most rotten president in American history. Even Democrats can't wait to be rid of him. But let me tell you something. There's years yet to go. And just as I warned you that Bush is yet to even start what he was doing. In the last 6 months of the Bush administration, I told you he was a fiscal socialist, and I warned you that he's liable to do something worse yet, and he did. He wrecked the economy and brought about Barack Obama because he destroyed the economy. Bush did that. Well, I'm warning you that you've seen nothing yet. These demagogues that are running this country are just warming up for the final few innings of their administration. And they have a few tricks up their sleeves that you can't even imagine, that I can't even imagine. But I will tell you, if even Rockefeller is espousing the race card, watch out what's coming. Watch out, that's all I can tell you. And nobody's going to win from this. Nobody will win from this kind of demagoguery and racism. Nobody. It's going to get worse, much worse, before it gets better. At some point, you're going to have to take personal risk, like the astronomer Galileo, in order to stand up in your child's school, at your place of work, or somewhere else. It's the Savage Nation. Thanks for giving me 15 minutes to give you America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I can do politics. Hillary's not going to win. There's a good chance 50-50 she won't win because she looks very old and very tired. And that's not enough to win. Just because she's a woman is not enough. And the name recognition? Give me a break. I mean, what do you remember from the Clinton presidency that was positive? Bombing Serbia? What did he do for this country that's so great? You'll tell me the economy was great, but it had nothing to do with him. Economy was generally good. That's all. So the Benghazi panel is being formed. Nancy Pelosi took time out to say she's going to include Democrats. I told you they had to in order to get all of the discovery in their hands so they could dismiss the discovery as invalid. They made the right move, of course. And now they're using the race card to say that anyone who opposes, who wants the Benghazi panel is a racist. Listen now. Here comes the knee-jerk response from, this one is Clyburn. Listen to this.
I seem to remember our history. After Reconstruction, when people of color gained political presence.
Oh, my God. Give it up already.
They drummed up all kinds of things, indictments and accusations. They drove these people out of the South, and many of them, some went to Chicago, some came here to Washington, D.C., and I see the same kind of efforts to discredit this president.
How do you feel about a man like Clyburn saying, first of all, going back to Reconstruction to dig up an argument, and going back to this kind of thing, do you understand how desperate the Democrats are? Do you understand that they're using the race card all over again, everywhere they can, to stir up racial hatred and try to embarrass whites into saying enough is enough and to back off? I don't understand if you can't see through this, even if you're a young person. Unless you're listening to the show, you don't know what I'm talking about. Then you don't know what I'm talking about. Here, man 63 arrested after gunfire in a movie theater. Memphis police said 63-year-old George Goldson was arrested and charged Tuesday with reckless endangerment and failing to follow a posted no weapons notice. Police say Goldson took a .38 caliber two-shot Derringer into a movie theater in East Memphis. The gun, which was loaded with one bullet, fell out of his pants. I wonder what he was, pants pocket, fired the round. I don't know, maybe he was adjusting something down there. And the gun fell out, and none of the 18 people in the theater were hit. What was it, like a porn theater? They don't even have them anymore. 18 people in a theater sounds like an old-time porn theater. The theater had posted a notice prohibiting weapons inside the building. Goldson took a 38. God, why would you bring a gun to a movie theater? We had this discussion before, and I said that there should be a ban on guns in movie theaters after that cop shot the guy for texting in a movie theater. And many of you got mad at me and said, no, I need my gun. Then you reminded me of the column, the other one, I don't know, whatever. Or Aurora, Illinois, movie theater slaughter. Because you don't know who's going to be with the guy. I could see the argument. I could see the argument. What's this? Masterpieces stolen, spotted, says the FBI. Attention, FBI! Look into the 710 missing pieces of fine art from the San Francisco Fine Arts Museums, lent to friends and politicians. FBI, anyone home? Knock, knock, who's there? Nobody. Apparently there's an FBI in other parts of the country looking into lost art, but not in San Francisco. This is like the greatest art heist of all time. The last we saw, a local newspaper, Left Wing Rag, showed one of the paintings in Di Fi's office. On loan, of course. Wasn't for sale. I mean, she didn't steal it. We're not accusing her of that. She borrowed the painting. Now, there's a few paintings in the Young Museum I'd like to borrow. Can you see if you can get me one from my living room wall? I guarantee you I'll give it back. I promise I will give it back. I'll name five paintings I like to borrow from the D. Young Museum. I'm trying to avoid the creeping Sharia. I'm trying to avoid the fact that the Third World is about to engulf the United States of America if they grant amnesty to illegal aliens, but I can't avoid it. In New York City, in Brooklyn, an immigrant, probably on welfare his entire life from Pakistan, killed his wife by beating her to death with a stick because the wife made the mistake of cooking him lentils for dinner instead of the hearty meal of goat meat that he craved, according to court papers. Noor Hussein, our president's middle name is Hussein, age 75, was so outraged over the prospect of eating the vegetarian fare that he beat his wife, Nazar Hussein, 66, inside the Brooklyn apartment until she was a bloody mess. Prosecutors said in opening statements of his murder trial Wednesday, quote, defendant asked his wife to cook goat, and his wife said she made something else, court papers said. The conversation got louder, and his wife disrespected defendant by cursing at defendant and saying, mother F. The defendant, a Pakistani immigrant, took a wooden stick and hit her with it on her arm and mouth. Now, wait, it gets better. I wouldn't read the story just to show you the cesspool that America's becoming under Obama. I mean, why are we bringing immigrants in from Pakistan? Can anyone tell me who in their right mind would bring in immigrants from Pakistan who don't work? Pick your country of choice. Why would you bring them in from anywhere if they don't work? What were you bringing them in here for? Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador. You only see the ones who work. How about those at home who don't work with the nine children? Take a look at who's pregnant in the country. You know what this country is going to look like in 5 to 10 years? You'll be thrown out of your own country. So a man kills his wife by beating her to death with a stick because she made a vegetarian dinner. And here comes the punchline. The defense attorney, Julie Clark, admitted that Hussein beat his wife to death, but argued that the Muslim immigrant is guilty only of manslaughter because he didn't intend to kill her. The defense attorney said that in his home country, beating your wife is customary. I'm not making any of this up. I am not making it up. She said that in Pakistan, beating your wife is customary. She went on, she said, he comes from a culture where he thinks this is appropriate conduct where he can hit his wife, Clark said in her opening statements of the Brooklyn Supreme Court trial. He culturally believed he had the right to hit his wife and discipline his wife, she said. Prosecutors, however, said that Hussein meant for his wife to die. There's more to the story. There's much more to the story. He beat her so badly with a stick that the family had found in the street, and which they used to stir their laundry in a bathtub. See, we failed this immigrant family. That's the thing. We failed them in many ways. We didn't give them a washing machine, a government-supplied washing machine. So had we given them a government-supplied washing machine, he wouldn't have had to pick up a stick, and the stick wouldn't have been there to beat his wife. So we're actually responsible for killing the wife. He then tried to clean up the blood that splattered onto their bedroom wall before calling his son for help. I killed her. Hurry up and come over, Hussein told his son, according to prosecutors. Madni, the prosecutor, also said Pakistani women who lived in the same building as the Husseins would testify about the beatings Nazar received at the hands of her husband. Madni said they have told us about years of abuse they witnessed. Here's the last punchline. Hussein met his wife in Pakistan, and the couple married before moving to Brooklyn. Do you think there was a green card involved somewhere? Who wants to bet that they were on welfare? Who wants to bet that they never worked a day in their lives in America? Who wants to bet that unless Obama's amnesty is stopped, you will not be living in the United States of America within 10 years? You will be living in a third world cesspool. I stick by those words. I'll challenge anybody to argue with me over this. I am an immigrant son. Amnesty will be the death of America. You must oppose it with everything in you. It's the last chance we have to save the country. Is this one story typical of all immigrants? Of course not. But there are far too many immigrants in our prisons for having committed multiple felonies. This is how far America has come, from the Magna Carta to beating your wife with a stick because she made you lentils instead of goat. And it's good for America when you think about it. It lightens things up. It opens things up in America. You're not like an uptight Christian with a cross. You know, Christian, uptight white male. You don't want to live in the past. You want to live in the 1800s. Lighten up. Join the real world, the big world. Join the third world. You better join it because it's joining you, thanks to Hussein Obama. Hussein Obama wants to third worldize the United States of America. I never saw anything like this. There's not a peep opposing him, nothing. Not a peep coming from the Repubes. The Repubes say, fine, bring them all in, we need the cheap labor. The Dems say, bring them all in, we need the cheap votes. And not a word from the people. People don't matter anymore in this country. I don't want to complain, though. That's all. The part that gets me is that a female defense attorney has the nerve to say that he is guilty only of manslaughter because he comes from a culture where he thinks this is appropriate conduct, where he can hit his wife. He culturally believed he had the right to hit his wife and discipline his wife. I'm telling you, the third world will destroy this country. You see, the defense attorney may sound absurd to you, but the cultural defense has been used before, and successfully at that. I remember the case of the Hmong, H-M-O-N-G, the Hmong people, who killed the white people up in the forests of Minnesota, I believe. Remember they killed the hunters in a fit of hunting rage? He targeted them and shot them, including a young girl. And the attorney said it was a cultural defense to kill the white people because he thought he was being attacked. I don't know what they used. I swear to God. Everything is upside down. It's Alice in Wonderland in America today. No wonder you listen to this show. You try to, you know, it's like, you know, rules for the perplexed. But I'm reaching a point where I need someone to advise me. The country is so scrambled under Obama and the leftists who screwed the country up that I need someone to tell me what to say. No, I'm just kidding. What do you want to talk about? Okay, a few more stories I saw today. Here we go. The old stackaroo. New York City. Crime is spiking because of the left-wingers in New York who restricted the NYPD as racist. And so now it's Mad City again. Fury at politicians who curbed cops now crying foul at crime spike. Are you listening? They pointed fingers at the cops. They reined them in on the stop and frisk, and now crime is getting out of control. What's next? The squeegee men will be back in New York City to ruin your windows? Here's one for you from California. Porn stars form Free Speech Coalition to fight condom sex bill in California. I swear to God. A delegation of porn stars known as the Free Speech Coalition traveled to Sacramento to protest purported First Amendment violations inherent in a newly proposed California bill that would require them to wear condoms. According to the LA Weekly, AB 1576 could prescribe criminal penalty for not using condoms by actors. The Weekly reports that the measure would also deny their performers the right to federally mandated medical privacy. So in other words, they've now turned using a condom into the First Amendment. See, that's what the founders had in mind when they passed the First Amendment and fought and died for it, was that a bunch of sluts could argue that using condoms is against the First Amendment. This is what I mean by the perversion of the law by the vermin who went to law school in the last generation. The law itself has been perverted by the garbage that they took into law schools. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
As we swing into the end of hour number three this Thursday on the Savage Nation, here are the news headlines for America on the Savage Nation. You remember Prince Charles, that moron with the big ears? Well, he compared Putin to Hitler, and boy, did he get slammed for it. As he should, as Hillary should have been slammed for comparing Putin to Hitler. She is unsafe at any speed of her tongue, and so is he. Russia, meanwhile, is going to build 8 nuclear reactors for Iran. Meanwhile, Obama is hiding behind sports teams this week. As things go south for him, he goes north, east, and west to hide behind team numbers. That's because the Democrat team is in the toilet. So there he is behind the sports teams. What else is in the news? Well, shall I give you the good or the bad news? Because you're going to get it all. Okay, global warming alarmists are getting desperate. Let's go to michaelsavage.com, the home of the Savage Nation, where borders, language, and culture prevail. Can you name one candidate running for office who articulates a nation's identity as defined by these three words, borders, language, and culture? No. And that's why you're listening to the Savage Nation. So on michaelsavage.com, global warming alarmists getting desperate. That would be Jerry Brown and others. Leftists storm McDonald's headquarters. And by the way, they don't work there. They're mainly radical communists, and they're mainly white, and they're demanding a $15 an hour wage minimum. They don't work there. They're just trying to destroy another American institution. Meanwhile, in the Ukraine, Mr. Obama, 11 are killed as violence spikes ahead of Sunday's presidential election. Thank you, Mr. Obama. The VA scandal grows. Obama knew about it in 2008. Oh, did you hear about this one? A Muslim terror squad killed 31 and maimed over 90 in China. This is the third such attack by Muslims in China. Now, I don't know what China's going to do, but I doubt that they're going to draw a pink line in the sand. A Pakistan Islamic Council endorses child marriage. Maybe we should bring more of them in here. They'd fit right in, wouldn't they? Did you hear? Apologists in the West claim it's not permitted, but a Pakistan Islamic Council endorsed child marriage. Meanwhile, in Brooklyn, a Muslim immigrant, 76 years old, beat his wife to death with a stick because she cooked him a vegetarian dinner, not the goat that he wanted. Wait, it gets worse. I'm not making this up. The Muslim immigrant beat his wife to death because she made him a veggie meal instead of a goat meal. His lawyer said that his culture permits him to beat his wife, but he went too far. I say bring in more. I say we bring in another million or 2 million from Pakistan, and that way America will not be controlled by the evil Christian white male. After all, what we need are superior third world individuals like this who live on welfare and beat their wives to death. Boston bomber Tsarnov's note said, "We Muslims are one body." Did you hear that? We Muslims are one body. And they said it wasn't Islamic terrorism. Oh, my God. You didn't know when it... A group that listed the pitfalls of working with white people is receiving Department of Justice grants. If you only knew. Here's the good news. Spanish bulls are knocking out matadors all over Spain. Organizers called off the bullfights after three matadors were injured. My only prayer is that the bulls kill them all. I know that's pretty rough language, but if you ever saw the bulls being tortured by these sadistic pieces of garbage in their ballet tights, you'd throw up. Have you seen these magnificent creatures screaming for their lives? Have you seen the blood spraying out of their nostrils and mouths as they're stabbed to death by these sadistic Spaniards? The most barbaric, quote, sport on earth, bullfighting. A pox upon the Spanish people for permitting this. Okay, I'm going to calm down. Take a look at Teddy on michaelsavage.com. That's why I love animals. How could anyone torture an animal? I mean, I could see being a meat eater. It's one thing. Humane slaughter, okay. But torturing an animal for fun? A shame on you. Spain is a shame, and it's gone down the drain. Why don't they take on the Islamists with the same vigor with which they take on their defenseless bulls? Well, today on the Savage Nation, I told you 21 jokes that only conservatives would find funny. I'll give you two of them. Did you hear about the new Obama diet? You let Putin eat your lunch every day. Well, that's it for the Savage Nation. Thank you for giving me 15 minutes, and I hope I've given you a piece of America. Good night, and God bless America.
Savage.
Tackling the subjects they told you never to talk about on the only conservative station in the Bay Area. Hot Talk 560, KSFO.